In this blessed morning, our meditation will be about unity of the family. And I'm not going to discuss with you, as some of you might expect, academically, as we present in lecture, unity. But I meditate with you about an event, and for some of you it might appear like a story, for some of you it will be an experience, for some of you it will be a reality, but I assure you, find yourself from what I'm going to say. We know the essence for unity in the family. And there are five phases in what I'm going to tell you right now. Try to find these five phases and where you are right now. In what I'm going to say. What I'm going to tell you is not an imagination, although it might appear to some of you as imagination. I wish that God would clarify to each one of us what we're going to live today, this morning. Before I will start, I will tell you something about the cross. You see this cross? Yeah? This cross is rounded with a vertical part and a horizontal part. And the horizontal part is telescoped in the vertical part, which means you could get it out, this horizontal part, or you slip it in. And it's rounded. This exactly was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this horizontal bar, its diameter was about 6 to 8 inches. Diameter like this. Along the wood. It's so heavy, just the horizontal of this bar. If you carry it from its weight, you could fall, as he did 3 times. And the vertical part also like a stem of a tree, also rounded. Of course, much larger. It's a miniature, much larger than that. That's why I brought you with me one of the nails which were similar to the nail which pierced the wrist of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that nail is 12 inch long. 12 inch long. It pierced this part, not here. Pieces here, and then it went into the wood like that, and the wood about 8 inches, and then the turn at 2 inches, you would bend so his hand don't get out of the wood. So it pierces the distal part of the forearm between the two bones, proximal to the this one. And the same on the other hand. And the 2 feet, the nail pierces between the long bones and the tarsals of the big toe and the second toe. If this is the foot like this, it's here. And the 2 feet together, the nail pierces the 2 feet on top of one another, and then the wood. And describing that in detail, because of what I'm going to tell you now, just to be familiar. Most of the crosses, as a mistake, we put the nail inside the hand. It's easy to slip like that with the weight of the body. But here it comes slip. One day, a man in the morning was going to his work, in your home you have front yard and back yard, and there's lawn in the front and the back, correct? When the man, after he finished his routine, morning routine, he went to open the front door in order to go to his work, and he was amazed to see something he never imagined to be, but with a reality in front of him. He saw in his front yard, when he was going about 7 a.m. in the morning, a huge cross in his front yard. A huge cross in the front yard. It was about 10 feet high, other than the part which was in the ground. Of course, it cannot be, and I cannot get something similar to what I want to describe, but this is missing the rest of the wood, which was down. And he saw the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, but not naked. He was dressed in white robe, with the crown of thorns, and each hand pierced by a nail, and 2 feet were pierced by another nail. And the man went to that, it might be a statue, somebody put it in his front yard. He went, and his head was nearly at the level of the feet of the figure. He touched the teeth, and the teeth were flesh and wool. Then he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He touched the teeth and touched the nail. Then he kissed the teeth and looked up. He looked up. And he saw the face of Christ looking at him, smiling. He didn't know what to say, but he continued looking and asked him one question: why are you here? Christ never answered anything. He didn't say anything, but he looked with his eyes up, and the man saw above the head of the Lord Jesus Christ the same as you are seeing here. And it is written, capital letter I and capital letter U, and in the middle was a red heart. It might be good for teenagers, but this is what the man has seen. And whenever the man asked Jesus Christ why you are here, the Lord smiled and he looked up. That house was in the way to a middle school in the United States, 7th and 8th grade, sometimes 6th, 7th and 8th grade. After the elementary and before the high school. So, students start to come, and when they were passing by, they looked in the front yard, and it was something attractive, exciting for them. Some of them looked and continued, and some looked, they stopped, they continued looking, then they came to the cross. The man retreated towards the front door, and one of the students is shorter than the man, but he raised his hand and touched the feet, and then he worshipped. Soon it became a line from the passengers, students and adults. And the man was standing in front of his door. After he worshipped, looking to people coming one after another. Unable to go to his work, how could he eat and go to his work? And something like that is happening in his front yard. The man continued looking to Christ and people coming to him till the evening. Of course the news went and people started to come. At night, when the number of people coming began to get less and less, the man himself went to Jesus. He kissed his feet again. And he was looking up. He was under the feet of the cross, and I would love to title this meditation "Under the Feet of the Cross." So the man, while he was looking, a drop of blood from the crown of thorns. It went down along the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Down it landed on his own face. He stayed all the night and he got healed. In the morning, early, very early in the morning, Jesus starts to come. And he went and he sat down in front of his front door. The same happened again, second day. Some people pass by, and some people come to worship. At the end of the day, he has time, the man has time, to come and worship. But during the night, he asked himself, how could I leave the Lord outside my house? I have to take him in. How can he do that? How could he do that with a huge cross like this? And the figure of the Lord dressed in white robe, and his hands and feet are made the cross. It appears so heavy, log wood, real wood. Then he became more determined. I cannot leave him outside my house. If anybody wants to come in, he will be welcome, but I have to take him in. To awaken the passengers and away from his front yard, he put his ship, his shoulder, against the cross, and he tried to take it off the ground. Before doing that, he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked at him, and the Lord smiled, approving of his intention, the man's intention. When he tried to take the cross out of the ground, it was so light. It was so light, as if he was holding a cross like this. He didn't know how, but he carried the cross inside his house, and he closed the door, and he put the cross in the family room. Still, the Lord was there smiling. The whole family came around the cross, the wife and the children, the neighbors and the relatives were able to come, and some of the passengers who were casually passing and they heard about the event they came in, but not the spectators. The family gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ, with friends, relatives, and the neighbors. They have their Bible open. They read and look to him. And he was validating what they are reading, because he's the one. And he is the one who is reading, saying the word. They pray to someone they are seeing and touching. And reading his word as if they are hearing what he's saying. The Lord became a reality, not something in their imagination. They are seeing him. Even the kids, they are seeing him. But everybody still was amazed, why? And the only answer was, I love you, because I love you. Why are you here again in this house? The man and his wife and the kids did not know. He loved them, something for them that not he knew. But why he came to their own home, he didn't know. Still, the neighbors were coming, bugging them, bugging the household, the man, his wife, and his children. They wanted to see him. Just they wanted to see him. Some stayed, some worshiped, some looked and took the blessing and went. After 2 or 3 days, the man decided, no, I will take him to the bedroom, my own master bedroom. He looked to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ affirmed what the man was asking for by a smile. The man carried the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and he took him inside his bedroom. The neighbors and relatives were unable to go, but only the man, his wife, and the children. And before going to sleep, everybody took permission from the Lord. The man and his wife in their bed were looking to Jesus Christ in front of them, blessing them with his smile. The man was unable to sleep that much, but they slept while he is really was in front of them. Very early in the morning, he rose from his bed, and he went to touch Jesus. And the family, sitting alone, family alone, children with dead and mom, were the ones allowed to come to this bedroom and sit around the feet of the cross reading his word and talking to him. He did not become a stranger to them. He became one of them. They discovered that his were unable to play away from him. He attracted them so much to the extent they preferred to be with him than to be entertained with anything else. And this phase continued for a week. Their home changed so much because of the awesome presence, real presence. We are not talking about symbolic presence, but real presence. After a week in the bedroom, the man was unable to tolerate just staying with others around the Lord Jesus Christ. He decided to take him more in. Where he could take him, where he'll be alone with him. Inside the master bedroom there was a huge walk-in closet. He decided, this is my closet. This is my own chamber. He looked to Christ, and Christ also smiled when he took him more in into the walk-in closet. The closet had a very high ceiling. The cross filled nearly the whole closet. And the man closed the door. And finally, he became alone. Since that time, a certain kind of relationship started to grow between the man and the crucified. It keeps the mind of the man one day. Why he doesn't climb up and go up? He looked at Jesus Christ. Jesus did not smile. I just say, it's sufficient for you. To stay under the feet of the cross. The man did not understand. That is not a matter of deserving or not, but he cannot tolerate in his standard to be up. One day the man was sitting under the cross, sitting under the feet. And while he was looking up, he saw as if there is no ceiling for the cross. And he saw heaven directly above the head of Jesus Christ. And heaven was open. He was sitting under the cross, under his feet, looking through his face and seeing heaven open. And through the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw many in the open heaven. And when he refused to look down, he didn't see anything. From looking to the Lord Jesus Christ so much, his eyes got used to see the Lord. And when he closed his eyes, still the Lord was engraved inside him. He asked the Lord Jesus Christ, in one morning, would you permit me to go to work? Because the man did not go to work for over 2 weeks. And he can't continue staying with the Lord at the same time he doesn't want to leave him. And he didn't know that the Lord became engraved inside him. When he was driving his car to go to his work, after the Lord permitted him, could he ask him, after my return, I would love to see you here. Could I? And the Lord smiled. When he was driving, going home, going to work, he was looking through the front glass as if the Lord was in front of him, the face of the Lord. He went to his work. He was seeing everybody through Christ, the face of Christ, which he got used to look at. People at work, they found a great change in the man, the way he's dealing with them, the way he's treating them, and they did not know why. But the man was different. After he finished work, he returned home directly from the front door to the family room, to the bedroom, to the inner closet. He opened the door and here by the Lord Jesus was still there waiting for him. After he closed the door, the man said that he missed Allah. But he stayed. It became for him a routine. Most of the night with him. To take his blessing in the morning and go to work, carrying him with him. And every day, he's renewed more and more, and changing more and more. On return, he'll find Jesus. everybody in this house, of course, you're only talking about that event. Jesus Christ, who is that home? Kids are talking about him. The man and his wife, he has nothing to talk about except that the presence, the holy presence of someone who's alive. Not an icon, not a statue. And one day, the man went in the morning to worship. He looked at his friend, and for the last time he asked him, "Would you please tell me why you are here?" The Lord smiled. He didn't answer, but the change already happened. Not only the youth of the family, for each one in that family, the Lord Jesus Christ became a living one. In that particular day, the man asked the Lord, "After my return, am I going to find you here in this cottage?" The Lord closed his eyes, because he knows that he will stay inside each one of them, not a figure in the front yard, or the family room, or the bedroom in the closet. He became living. It's like each one of them. So, if you think with me, are you one of those who are passing by the cathedral, and you don't care about who is in the front yard of that house? Are you one of the spectators? Or are you one who would love to see the miracles of the apparition of the Lord Jesus Christ? You pass, you stop, you go and worship and go to your school. Or thirdly, are you someone who will see your Jesus only in the morning and sit back to look from far away, and then you worship in the evening? Or are you someone who took him inside your family, but just in the family room, where others could come without privacy? Or you are one who took him to your bedroom, your special room, your holy holies, and he became the center of your bedroom and center of your life? Or you are one who took him to your inner closet, with a special private relationship, which changed the core of you inside. to the extent you can't see anybody other than through him. This was the source of unity of the family. Do you have any questions to ask me? And if you prefer not to answer, not to meditate, or receive a song, can you think what I told you? To be better. She would and he or she listens to what I have said, and we are in the church, it happens. The support comes from within. The communion we are taking is real, not fake. And the word, the Bible, is real, not a story. Not a book of fairy tales. If you don't have support, spiritual support, in your family, God bless you to be the one who will live in Christ and Christ is living in you, in order to be their support for their family. And you will be, if you want to be one. Don't look for support from outside you. The support is from within you. In your connection, communication with the Lord, in your Bible and in the church. And you will not find, or you may not find the support from the congregation around you. But when you look to the altar, with the curtain open, you will see the support. So many of us come to the church and don't fear for anybody around them during the liturgy, except his presence. And the bosom of the Father is all what is filling their eyes. And between them and the bosom of the Father, you see the body and the blood. And you have body and blood on the altar. And means of the way to the bosom of the Father. They came out of the church with the communion in them, filled already. And the more they read his word and communicate with him, they are going to be filled more. He communes them with himself directly. Without looking to anyone outside, you have your closet, you have your own room, you have a corner. And after some time, it will get used to see others through him. At your work, he is with you, he is within you, he is between you and others. So we cannot say, I have to depend on others to know Jesus Christ. Since the pattern we already have changed into a different nature, which is helping you to ask and be forgiven, to be given. Maybe you are not asking enough. Please knock and you'll be given. He is knocking on your door. But maybe, like the bride of the Book of Songs, she was sleeping and her heart is awake. And when he opened and stretched his hand inside her, he found her busy with so many things. In short, don't rely on others. You have your means of support in the church and within you, in your Bible and your prayer. Start to get closer. Your father of confession could send for you a spiritual schedule, and God will use you to change the environment. God bless you.
Respect of our marriage as a couple who came to be one, but by the time we are getting the power, with no spiritual union, and things go from worse to worse. As you will now hate or frighten from the marital relationship. And even the church is not able to help us to change that attitude. I pray and desperate for God to interfere, but for years and years, nothing is happening. Can you help us?
What came to my mind when I listened to Abuna? Chapter 2, Book of Revelation, the epistle, the message to the angel of the church of Ephesus, it was Saint Timothy. He told them, remember two things. Remember where did you fall, and remember the early work you were doing. Captivity is one of the same. And his love became different than the love of the bride, the groom. He started his life as a bride, and he was taken into the service. The bishop leading a church, and he forgot about his first love, the kind of the love of the bride, the groom. So he told him, remember your first love. And see how did you get away from that love? And remember what you were doing when you loved me as a bride to the groom. Repent, or I might come and shake you and shake your tower and shake your life in order to return to me as a bride who's in love with her groom. Do not rely on your spouse. You yourself is the bride, and the other one is the bride. Most probably he is the bride too. Everybody is responsible primarily about himself. What I'm going to gain if I witness for Christ and preach about him and talk about him all my life, and people will come to him, and I myself will not experience and taste his sweetness in my life. So I think this verse is number 5, Ramah, chapter 2, Book of Revelation. He reviewed that epistle which began from the beginning of the chapter. Remember it, first of all. Remember the saddest world you would end had by the end. Could you really want to say this verse?
In about this, I have written to you that you have lived your spirit love. Remember the world from where you have fallen. It ends, and with the first world will end, I will come to you quickly and remove your left hand from its place.
He was in great love with all his life, but his love was different than the love he started with in the beginning of his spiritual life. Usually, we are in the spring of our spiritual life. At one time in our life. And in this life, this love changed. Tears of life, problems, and faith happened as a servant of God. But love is so different. And he was reminding a thing. Remember your first love to me. When you were really abide with private love to her group. So remember the early days, and this spiritual revival in you will revive your marital relationship. Everybody, his relationship could be rekindled again. Believe me, any marital relationship could be rekindled again if the two want to revive it. And this verse, number 10, verse 1? 2 and 5. 2, 4, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. So, Book of Revelation, just read it and apply it to yourself. And see how it works. Think of yourself, please. If the moment will come to depart from here, you'll be asked about yourself. Start by yourself. And God will ignite and rekindle the relationship with you.
A couple who are a close family to us, and we learned that the husband had got an extramarital relationship. Can the wives have to help them and be ready to tell his wife or not? And what can they do for both of them?
God bless you for your prayer for them and your thoughtfulness about that couple. Please don't go and tell her. Please don't. If God wants to show the spouse, the infant spouse, He will show that spouse. continue your prayer. Try to surround the spouse with a wave. Understand infidelity. Understand infidelity as someone who was snatched by Satan outside the triune relationship, Jesus Christ, with the wife and husband. He is taken away into the bosom, not of Christ, but of Satan, who is with him in another relationship. And the one who wrote this question, his heart is breaking, or her heart is breaking, for the absence of that person away from Christ. The heart is breaking because of the unholiness he is living in. And the only way for holiness to return to him would be through prayer and a spiritual holy environment around him. If you can't surround him with holy behavior, at some time you can do it. If you want to go and visit and read within the Bible, especially in certain chapters which motivate us towards holiness, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from 3 to 8, First Corinthians chapter 3, 10-18, First Corinthians chapter 5 and 6, First Corinthians chapter 6:9-10 and 14 to the end. Galatians 5. You read the word of those who are immersed in that, in the 10 about 17 or more of this world, till you reach the fruit of the Spirit, 23 and 3 and 23 and Galatians 5. Read with their family chapter Revelation chapter 7, chapter 20-22. You have a long way to read with them so many things about holiness or situations which motivate. Don't accuse, don't point fingers, but just test the flame of the holiness of God. You could pray with them, with their family. Put their names on the altar. Send a Buddha to mention and pray for them, for their case, till God will stretch his hand. And God has own way. God has his own way to awaken us. So many things have happened to this man. But because of your prayer, I assure you, and because of your thoughtfulness, and whatever you would offer from spiritual holiness to the family, God will awaken the man. When, I don't know. But for sure, the person involved done because of your prayer. And it happens in so many cases. These cases are so common these days. Because Satan is attacking his work mainly towards making the bride of Jesus Christ unholy. He will take the holy to everyone, children of God. The target is your holiness. Because the will of God is your sanctification at the moment. And His will is to defile the temple of God. Please pray for the whole church. Pray for the holiness and sanctification of the whole world these days. Because we are going through an era of time, the war is against our holiness. Don't get involved. Christ is not a figure on a cross. Christ has to be alive in the church, in our homes. This is our home. Christ has to be not an icon, not a crucifix. And for those who feel for that and live that way, I'm sure God will use you as tool. Through you, His light will shine over that family and other families. God bless you for your question and your concern.
We are a family who loves you. But we both, me and my wife, are different in loving God. We love God in different ways. If we try, but we are God in a parallel ways. We never meet. We never understand each other properly. But we are sure that we are genuine. And we love that being good. If there is any way to meet and that love,
and you will get the promise. The two are in love with God. The two you love Christ on different levels of the depth of their love to Christ. And they don't meet. They are meeting at Christ, the same one whom both of them they love. Maybe someone loves him more than the other. So where is the problem? If really the two are attracted to the source of life, the same force as butterflies, they are going to meet for sure on the source of the life. And if someone is attracted to a different life, if the two are attracted towards Christ, of course they are going to meet at Christ. And they are married already, which means he is holding the two, binding them in one. I don't get, but I know that this is a thing which is standing in the way. Try to find that thing which is the barrier between you and Christ. This case is a case of quenched spirit, a rock of butter, quenched spirit. And the use of the Holy Spirit is grieved or quenched in the family because of sins and bad habits. Try to look in your life and in the house. Maybe certain habits, certain gathering, certain kind of socialization, certain way, I don't know what's there. It could be hidden inside you, but there's a sense standing between you and Christ. And if there's no sense, if both of you are really repenting, the Holy Spirit will start uniting both of you. There are so many things these days which could quench the Spirit, which unite the two into one. And the process of uniting the two into one is a perpetual process, as I'm going to describe later, which doesn't stop. It starts by the celebration of the matrimonial ceremony and continues all the life. And some of you might be weak, and some of you might be sick, spiritually. Some of you might be slumbering, but there is an awakening if you want it to happen. As I told you, look for the reason for which the Spirit is grieved in your matrimonial relationship or at your home. When you find it, repent. And the part of, or the process of unity will continue again. For some of us, our united power is stopped because of our sins. Our unity has to be perpetually increasing, and if it stops for some time, it's because of our sins. Review Galatians 5. The work of the flesh is clear. And you mentioned about the Gibbonna. Fine, very well, indeed. And God bless you.
Can you send that please and send it?
My feeling this question may be meaning that the problem may be different theology, maybe say like Protestant and Orthodox marriage, maybe Catholic or something like that. That's how I interpret the question.
Even so, he is clarifying for us something which might be there. He's saying maybe that couple, they are different in the way they worship. If the two are from the same denomination, fine. If one is Protestant and the other is Orthodox, or Catholic and Protestant, or Catholic and Orthodox, and if the two spouses, really love Christ with their own way of worship, yes, what is standing is the way of worship, the formality. And thus, hypothetically, discuss the situation which he is posing for us hypothetically. Maybe. That if this maybe is as such, what is between the two? Coming to one church and one goes to the other church, we are sitting down between them. And if there are kids, the kids are confused. Although he is the same Christ, but there are boundaries. Because unity of the whole Church of Christ, the whole Orthodox family, Catholic family, and Protestant family, I wish if it happened on the earth, but I doubt that. But for sure in heaven, maybe there will be some kind of unity. But inside the family, and to be granted to one of you now, the one who sent the question, if the reality is as he is saying, that the two spouses are different in the way they worship, separation will continue usually and worshiping the same Christ because of formality, because of animosity between churches, because of disrespect between churches, because of disrespect between congregations. And this is not the way real genuine Christians behave. There has to be a spiritual guide for that couple. There has to be a spiritual guidance with a spiritual guide. Both of them respect, who will guide them to what they do. And if they are married in which church, I don't know, if they are married the Orthodox way, because some of you said that question here now, if they are married the Orthodox way, it's a mystery. And the mystery is working, the Holy Spirit is working for that couple. So the spiritual guide will go in detail. If someone wants more detail than that, you could be with me after the session.
Our relationship together as a husband and wife is getting worse and worse.
What is it about? Is there here a good couple? Is there here one good couple who are celebrating their life with Christ? Thank you, Lord, that is okay. Could I ask? I am not going to do that. Maybe we need them to come here and everybody will see them and touch them. In this small convention, I started yesterday and continued the question of one. But it keeps me getting worse. And first, it's getting worse. Tell me more than it's worse. I'm sensing a feeling of despair in those who are asking this question. And as long as Christ is alive, of course there is hope. Of course there is hope. We have meditated yesterday about strength of the family, of person. Then, now, about the essence of unity. Was Christ himself, the life of Christ. Please don't keep him hidden in your life. And then we talk about criteria for the partner, the gift of God to me, for those who are looking, and for those who are married, I will search in these criteria, which are not fitting in my case, how to be corrected. And then we talk about the main verse, the leave and unite, and the obstacle which is preventing the real unity from happening. And then I'll talk with you about companionship, satisfying the mental need and the mental intimacy. I think it's enough of a problem. The last one will be how to rekindle your relationship with exercises. So just wait it to work. And we have it. And if you want, you take exercises and do it with a bonus. A bonus or any spiritual guide will pull up with you. But don't hammer everybody by that sense of despair and getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. Okay, I hope this question, that kind of question will wait tomorrow. No, please keep it with your words tomorrow, please. Keep listening to what we have to do. Because I can't repeat now what I'm going to say tomorrow.
Because I have a person who can wish you.
You are doing it better? Okay, good. The father.
And so I expected to have some feeling for the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, is it my badness or my personal badness?
Okay. It's the same problem, the unholiness, which I'm talking about. The word that the Bible calls these days is unholiness. Unholiness with different ways. See how it happened now. Satan set his work between the two. The two were in unity. He needed to get worse and worse as they are separated. And now he will take each one of them and start war against him and against her. And don't think that one spouse only will be attacked, the other will be attacked. Maybe by a different kind of war, but also unholiness. Be careful for the issue of holiness in our life. When the same sex or heterosex is unholiness, it's infidelity, it's adultery. I'm not going to be, to raise my eyebrows for that word, same sex, same gender. It's unholiness, whatever it is. Whether you be bisexual or not, it is unholiness. Is there a solution here? What is a solution? He says, get into holiness. Get into holiness. There is no homosexuality with holiness. It doesn't work. If you talk from now to tomorrow, it's infidelity. 3 Corinthians 6:16 is the one who unites the two into one. Satan. So, how could I take the members of Christ and make an adulterer? And the same person who will have tendencies that time, maybe tomorrow will have tendencies for animals, Christianism. I mean, that the Lord Jesus Christ won't call it for the temple, and Satan wants to defile the temple and humiliate the temple of God. So let us be careful and wake up. The war is against our holiness, the holiness of the temple of God.
My friend is a drug junkie. There is almost no hope because he is too under the influence of drugs to get help. The only way to do if he doesn't change is an overdose of suicide. Please, can you help?
I wonder this question is coming from the same person or someone who's feeling for them. There is hope for any drug addict. I meet them everywhere. There is hope for every addict. That's why we have clinic for addiction. And that person, the easiest is narcotics. The easiest is narcotics. Sex addiction is worse because the war of unholiness and all of them are addiction. And you usually find association between different kinds of addiction. But narcotics, it needs detox. Just admit, get the detox, and rehab and maintenance. The 12 steps could help. Even you could go into a facility for 12 months. It's not out of your life. You'll be built again, edified, in a continuous rehab and maintenance. And there are many of them in Egypt, much cheaper than here. Sometimes I buy a few from Canada and US to go to facility in Egypt. You could pay less and get better deal for their own health. But I mean, if the health is their health, suicide is not the solution. Overdose is not the solution. Solution is to admit that I need help and start the right way. If well, I could be helped. And go to a program which will help you even for 1 year in your life. And then you return to your life with a stronger will. Because the whole program of the 12 steps is based on strengthening the will by God.
If there is any way to help someone who is suffering from paranoid delusions but has no insight into their problem and just doesn't see that there is any problem but is convinced that their delusions are true and not actually. He takes the beginning of the question about someone, and then he takes a difficulty generous to say something.
What kind of delusion was different before delusion?
It's paranoid delusion.
Paranoid delusion, which means paranoid schizophrenia. He is diagnosing someone with paranoid schizophrenia. Because delusion means schizophrenia. And paranoid is a kind of schizophrenia, psychosis. And the health is in the medication. Usually they don't continue taking medication. And sometimes we resort to help them by injection. If you don't take the medication. The problem in psychosis or schizophrenia is the discontinuation of taking the medication. Every psychiatrist should prescribe. But usually patients don't continue taking the medication, so it could be hospitalized for a few days and start with the injection for them once every 3 weeks or 1 month. But who is it? If they use them. Delusion means firm, false belief. Firm, false belief. Someone is delusional, has delusion, still paranoid or not. We have to evaluate for psychosis, for schizophrenia. And this starts with delusion. Of course, usually they see that they are sane, healthy, mentally. And the doctor is insane. But they have the medication, but anyway, it's the only way for them. Maybe there's no 100% cure, but medication makes their life tolerable, and actually makes life for those around them tolerable, because those around them, they suffer more. And the people with paranoid schizophrenia, they get gradually into the unreal. Till they reach one day to live in the unreal world. They don't suffer that much except for their hygiene and become dysfunctional. But people around them suffer more, especially those who love them. So the earlier the treatment starts, the better for the paralysis of the patient.
But sometimes the drug
can cause self-cause. Maybe the drug addiction can cause self-cause. You don't mention that there is a drug problem. That's the question. You don't mention that there is a question before that question about drugs. Yes, the something called drug can use psychosis, yes. And maybe I will mention the word drug, but I don't hear it.
No.
Right? Yes, there's something called any doctor, any psychiatrist could execute organic reasons, thyroid, and then switch food, drugs, and you will reach. It needs investigation, please. Yes. Yes.
But for another person, different stages are
important. No. There is paranoia is not paranoid schizophrenia. There is no delusion. Someone has paranoid personality disorder. Someone is paranoid. But this is parcel, not joking. It's not with delusion. So we have to make a difference between doubt as it happens in our lives, doubt and suspicion as paranoid personality disorder, and other personality disorder other than paranoid, schizoid, schizophrenia, we have also doubt, and then paranoid schizophrenia. Who will make this assessment? A professional psychiatrist. Not a question in a conventional way. It is certain investigation, and the treatment for the schizophrenia and the percentage order, that's someone who's always doubting and suspecting. The level of paranoia is different, and the kind of paranoia and the associated hallucination is different. Yes.
What is the greatest gift a wife can give her husband, or a husband can give his wife? One gift I don't mean a material or physical gift, but an emotional or a spiritual gift.
Hello, are you still there?
Yeah.
The question, as Abu Nawas is saying, is stating delusion. At the end, what is the best gift a wife could give her husband? Respect. What's the best gift a husband could give it to his wife? Love. According to Peter 5:22, wife submit to your husband. She respects your husband, even if he doesn't deserve that. Don't say he has to earn your respect. Don't say that. It's a commandment. It is a commandment either to commit yourself for the respect of your husband and the continuous respect and your support for him could change him. But you have to submit to him as the Lord, which means respect him. And the best gift from the husband to his wife, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself to her. Verse 25, the same chapter, Peter 5. So these are biblical commandments, not these biblical commandments. If you apply this commandment, it could be the recipe of the Lord for you to do it. Don't think when you are respecting your husband then he doesn't love you, because you are asked by God to apply your commandments. And for husband, don't say she doesn't respect me. I cannot love her. No. You are required to love unconditionally, and she respect unconditionally. Total obedience for the commandment. And so please, do it not thinking of the other. Do it and you be rewarded by God. In the relationship itself. Those who continue respecting their husbands and praying for them, God gratifies them. Not only Ummah al-Ghalaba or Sister Monica, Sister Monica, so many in our real life, real stories, the same story. But don't disrespect your husband. If you want to break your husband, disrespect him. If you want to break your wife, don't love her. Love your mother more than her. Or love your children more than her. And if they see, she envy my love to my mother and my and her own children. We men, we have to see what our wives are perceiving. And the wife, she has to rely on the perception of her husband, whether he is respected, if he is respected or not. And whether she feels loved or not. So we rely on their perception of what they are doing. Not from my own point of view, I love him, I love her, or I respect him. Does he feel respected? Does she feel loved or not? If not, then she needs more love and he needs more respect. And they could ask her about the way I could express to her the love in a way understandable to her. And ask him the way he wants to be respected. Then I will follow the guidance of my son toward more fulfillment of the commandment. Yes.
How do we accept Jesus and how can you touch how much you love him?
Again,
how do we accept Jesus and how can you touch how much you love him?
If you have baptized already, supposedly you have accepted Jesus. And she is our belief in our church. And if you are not a practicing believer, this means you are accepting the Lord Jesus in your life, in the practice, and then you are not practicing now that belief. We have to renew our commitment to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ day after day. And then the renewal, the process of renewal and restoration increases day after day our inner man. But there is no level for the depth of love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we grow in His love more and more. And the Holy Spirit takes us into the depths of God. And it is an infinite depth. You could love more and more and more, you feel that there is no sufficient. There is no level which you take, now I reach this spiritual maturity. There is nothing like that. Or now I have reached the full love to your heart. You could feel that your love has changed as you can see. Different kind of love. But the best kind of love is the love of the bride to her groom. The best kind of love. The most fervent kind of love. But there's no level. You can't say now I love him truly. I can't say that. So regarding accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, he has already done that for you. As he was in that in the baptism, but maybe you are not committing yourself to renew your belief and practicing your belief and practicing your life in him day after day. You need to struggle with that person. Not just an emotion, but action. You need commitment day after day. And he will be alive in you. And you feel that his love is cornering you. You can't get out. The love of Christ surrounds you everywhere. You can't get out. You feel wherever you go, he is in you and around you. His love is surrounding you everywhere. And still, he could be the water which seeps from under the door of the temple could reach one day to your heels, up to your knees, up to your hip, and after that it will be swimming and he will be carrying you and will continue all your life carrying and you feel that you are covered by his love but carried by his love.
I think we really gave us a question. Some more of your questions we will answer next session. But what the question is a little bit small print, so I give it to you to the registry.
My life has been more successful and satisfying and peaceful than it ever was when I put the spiritual burden on my shoulders. Eternity is a long time, but right now is my priority. God understands me and knows I love him when I tell him from time to time. As long as he knows this, my indulgence in the material world and all my pleasures is not soul spiritual faculties can't condemn to hell, can it? Love is what counts, isn't it? Otherwise it is superficial. And God is not that way. Spirituality and family unity only inhibit my progression, and my intentions are genuine. Why should I change?
As I understood from the comments or the question, that person is so committed to the love of Jesus Christ, committed to eternity. Isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And that question is saying, why I commit myself for family unity?
Yes.
It's not going together. Can't be. Unless the rest of the family members are living in a so unholy life away from eternity as a goal, but still the one that member who is very immersed in the love of Christ and the goal of eternity is clear to his or her eyes, that person will keep committed to stay with the family. Will keep committed to stay with the family. A nun can find a nun could leave the nunnery to go and help the family because the family is in trouble. And she stays serving them, till God will show himself to the family. Someone with that kind of zeal about eternity, how he could go to eternity with his hands empty. Because the maker of our life is reach eternity and with me as many as I can, especially members of my family. I don't understand, there has to be a reason which I don't understand in that question. And if there are certain circumstances which I don't understand, which is not clear, if everybody has his own circumstances, he could ask me later in privacy. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Some declaration on that question, I think people mean exactly what has been understood.
I think you're saying that I'm more successful now spiritually, I'm satisfied than I ever was when I focused on my spiritual life. Can my love for God just telling him from time to time cover me living for my material needs and worry about now, not about it? And God's love will cover me if I walk in this way.
For sure, God will help you to help that person, and he will satisfy his needs more than material, but it must be the later part of the family to clarify it for
us. Okay, only inhibits my progression.
In that person, please, if you need more answers, either with Abuna or with me. If the answer came already, fine. According to what I understand in the question, or was given for information. There might be others which I don't understand. Excuse me for not understanding.
No, I mean, yes, you were perfectly right about the family unity is not his hope. But I think the part here, all my pleasures is not a ritual sacrifices. Means that can I live my pleasures in a way that not to concentrate on the dignity, but to enjoy my pleasures as well for the time being because I live on that time.
I want to see. It's not a Bible commentary about the question. If he wants to meet with you to say exactly what he or she means, fine. Because the question as such is ambiguous. It's not clear. Or maybe there are certain things which cannot be disclosed. So better to be disclosed to a father or to me if you want to meet with me. I'm ready for that. God bless you.
We are meeting for the next session for 4:30. 4:30. Do you want to meet before that? Do you want to have, for example, another break and meet so that people who want to go, they can go early? Yeah? Who agrees? Okay.
Yeah, I just mixed the hands along the
long. Yeah. Can we meet at 3:15? If you have
half?
Half past three. Okay. We meet half past three.
Yeah.